Okay, welcome everyone. I'm Stefano Garzarella, and today I will talk about what we are doing in Rust VMM. This talk was prepared together with Rohin and Patrick, that I would like to thank, but unfortunately they cannot be here, so I will try to cover also their part. So before going into the details, let's start what is Rust VMM. I don't know if you know about it, but anyway, we are an open source project that would like to provide a set of virtualization components that people can use to build custom virtual machine monitors or hypervisor. So we don't provide any VMMs or hypervisor. We just provide the building blocks that people can use to build them. And why do Rust VMM? Because we want to reduce code duplication. We don't want to, for example, implement Vert.io device in every hypervisor. So the idea is just to provide you, okay, this is the implementation of Vert.io device. You can use it as a, how you want. We also want to faster a bit the development. So we are several people from different projects, from different companies, try to collaborate to provide these components. We are also try to focus on security and testability. And of course, we want to provide a clean interface because we want to, we are collaborating with different projects. I left here the links to our mailing list and Slack channel. If you want to join, you are really, really welcome. These are the set of repositories that contains Rust crates that we develop. So essentially, we provide wrappers for KVM, Hyper-V, Xen. We provide a Linux loader if your VMM want to load Linux directly in your guest. We provide some resource management crates, VM allocator mainly for MMIO address, IDs, that kind of things. And VM memory, which is one of our core crates used by, for example, all the device emulation, because it is the abstraction of the VM memory. So we use that crate to access the memory in the device emulation, for example. And about device, we provide Vert.io, of course. We have a set of crates for Vert queues and also for some Vert.io devices. And then we also have crates for vhost, vhost user, and vdpa. And we also have a lot of vhost user devices. We will see later which one. We provide wrappers for vfio and also a little set of legacy devices like serial port or real-time clock. And we have a couple of repo for our ecosystem, like the CI, because we would like to keep our CI consistent by all of the repos. So we have a repo for our CI and the container that runs all of our tests. About adoption, who are our user? The first one I would like to mention is Firecracker, because Rust VMM essentially started with Firecracker guys. And Firecracker is a lightweight VMM that run very lightweight VMs called micro VMs. And another one is Cloud Hypervisor, which is fully based on Rust VMM crates. This is a more general VMM that run bigger workloads on cloud environment. Then we have a libkeran developed by my colleague Sergio, which is also a lightweight VM, but extremely lightweight that you can even use in your application because it's a dynamic library that allow you to run custom process in a very lightweight VM inside the customized Linux kernel. And so if you want to partially isolate a process, you can use this library in your application. Another user is the Dragon Ball Sandbox provided by the Kata Container community, which is also based on Rust VMM crates. These are other projects, not really VMMs, but also in the virtualization workspace. VHost user devices. We have a lot of VHost user devices that we provide in Rust VMM, but also others like Vert.io FSD, which is external project, but they use our crates. Another interesting tool is Imago from my colleague Anna, which provide access to VM disk images, like kubectl images. Another one that I found is the VMXSAC, which it's a command line interface tool that should be able to run single command in a really throwaway VM. So if you want to start something in a isolated environment, this could be the right tool to use. And I found also this Dragonfly image service called Nidus that use, they provide also a VertIFS, they support VertIFS protocol, and they do that using our crates, using RustVMM crates. Another two projects I would like to mention, because they mention us in our, in their README, essentially. One is CrossVM, and I'd like to say that part of our code is based on CrossVM, which is one of the first VMM implemented in Rust. And nowadays seems open to use or to collaborate in RustVMM, and we are also really open to welcome them. It could be nice to collaborate together. And another one is a more recently VMM from Microsoft, which is OpenVMM, which is mainly for confidential computing. And they also mention our work on VMM stuff, and they hope to find a way to collaborate. We hope the same. Maybe in the future we will be able to collaborate. Okay, about our crates. So what we support, what architecture we support. We mainly support x86 and ARM64. We are working on RISC-V. I have a couple of slides from Rohin, which did a great work on that. About operating system, of course, Linux and KVM. We also support Windows in some crates. And we started to, especially for VHost user, we started to extend the support on any other POSIX system. I talked about it last year here in FOSDEM, where I have a slide later. So yeah, about VHost user, if you're interested, I will talk more about VHost user in the next talk in less than 1 hour, should be, yeah? Where I will talk more about VertIO, but essentially VHost user is a way to do device emulation in an external process, in another user space process instead of the VMM, mainly for security, but also for flexibility. Because, for example, in QEMU, which, I mean, the spec is in QEMU because the QEMU community come up with the VHost user, but it's so generic that you can implement in any way. In this case, in Rust VMM, we are implementing a lot of VertIO devices, VHost user device, that you can use with QEMU, with Cloud Hypervisor, with any VMM that support a VHost user protocol, where we call front-end the VM, which is the one that provide access to the virt queues, and we call back-end the device, essentially, the one that consume the virt queues. And it's a bit generic. The only components that VHost user protocol use are a Unix domain socket, because it's also able to move file descriptor around, and then we use the file descriptor passing feature of Unix domain socket to share the memory, mainly the guest memory, and also to set up some notification system. We use EventFD on Linux, for example, or pipes on other operating system. And yeah, about what we provide about VertIO and VHost user in Rust VMM, we have a VHost crate, which provide all the wrappers for VDPA, VHost, and VHost user. And then we have a VHost user backend trait, which is a framework to implement VHost user devices. And in this crate, we provide a daemon control object to start and stop the device, essentially, a trait to handle the VHost user control messages, and also a trait to access the virt queues. And as I mentioned, in the Rust VMM project, we provide several devices, several VertIO devices like CAN console, SCSI, Sound, VSOC. I listed all of them here, and you have, if you're interested, there is a link. And also we have an external project called VirtIOFSD, which is fully based on our Rust VMM crates and use exactly VHost and VHost user backend to implement a VirtIOFS device as a VHost user device. What we did in the last years about VertIO. So we started to support POSIX a bit more. I mean, we started with Linux, of course, and then we tried to support any POSIX system for VHost. Last year, we also started to do formal verification of VertIO devices. So VertIO is an open specification, and With the Google Summer of Code project, we started to put some kind of formal verification to check that our Vert.io devices follow the spec. And then we added a couple of new support for Vue's user messages, some classes, read and writer, to parse better the Vert.io descriptors. We start to support the Vert queue, the packed Vert queue, which is another essentially, Vert.io provides two Vert queue formats, split and packed. And split is the, we can say, the default one. The packed is the new one that we started to support recently. And we also started to support live migration for Vue's user. And this is implemented in Vert.io FSD right now. And also, we added support for shared object and shared memory, which is mainly for devices like video, GPU, Vert.io video, Vert.io GPU. And I mentioned that a couple of these new features was developed by GSOC student. So last year we did two successful projects, one to support macOS and BSD essentially for Vue's user in Rust VMM, and that was done by Wenyu Wang, mentored by Herman, Oliver, and myself. And Matthias, another my colleague, mentored Siddhartha Priya to essentially put the formal verification in our devices using Kani. And this year, QEMU will apply, they already applied. I mean, we are, usually we do our Google Summer of Code project under the QEMU umbrella, and I want to like to thank the QEMU community for that. This year, QEMU will apply again. Google will communicate, I don't know, I think in a couple of weeks, if it is accepted or not. If yes, one of the projects is also related to Rust VMM, which is this one, to implement a Vert.io real-time clock device as a Vue's user device in Rust VMM. And if you are interested, feel free to contact Matthias, Francesco, and myself, because we would like to do this new device. Other things we did in VM memory, which is one of our core crate, last year was to support guest memfd. We started to support IOMMU. There is also a work in progress, mainly by Patrick, to try to make our crate feature additive. Essentially, we have a feature to support Xen, which is not really additive. So if you enable that feature in the crate, essentially your crate will work only on Xen. This is not really great for us, and we are trying to figure out how to fix this. And also about QEMU, QEMU now started to support Rust. I mean, you can write some devices, for example, in Rust into QEMU, and there is a thread about start to use our crates too in QEMU itself for the Rust part. And had a couple of ideas, mainly from Patrick, to slim down our volatile slice to work better with Vert.io devices and to replace byte valued with zero copy. Okay, another, I mean, an issue that we had in these years was related about our deep chain of dependency. So for example, Firecracker or Vue's device or Vert.io FSD usually they use the Vue's crate to do, for example, to support Vue's device or to implement Vue's user. And the Vue's crate itself depends on the VM Vert.io crate for the Vert queues, that depends on VM memory to access the guest memory, that depends on VM mcsutil. So we have a really deep chain of dependency. And every time we change something, for example, in VM memory, we need to be sure that we propagate the changes. And sometimes contributors forgot about it, maintainers also forgot about it. So we try to find partial solution, like try to automate the crates.io releases, also because we need to follow a strict sequence of releases. So we need to release VM mcsutil first, then VM memory, and so on. So we try to automate crates.io. We try to use the dependency to do the major dependency upgrade in a minor release, but this is tricky. And what we are thinking about is to use a monorepo for all of our crates. This should also answer the question on how to keep our configuration consistent. We tried using Git sum module for our CI, for example. But yeah, we are thinking about the monorepo. We already did something for other crates. So essentially, when Rust VMM start, we had one repo per crate, and that was not really amazing. So during the years, we tried to put crates together under a Rust workspace, and for us, every Rust workspace is a Git repo. So we, for example, we merge KVM bindings and KVM IOCTL under a single workspace. We did the same for VFIO, for VMvert.io, and also for vhost. And our next steps would be to put everything together. This should, at least when someone touches something in a crate, take care also of the others. And so the idea is to put all the crates in the Rust VMM workspace, which will be a single Git repo, and we will use path dependency. Of course, this will bring up other issue, like maybe we will need a stable branch and to avoid break stuff when we, and I mean, to have fixes to go more faster and stuff like that. But we hope that will solve the other issue we find. So Ruohin started to work on that. We created the repo, we started to put the CI there. We started to move the VMM sysutils there. Still work in progress. I mean, we need to merge the VMM sysutil PR, but essentially we hope to do that in the next few months. And last things is about RISC-V. Also, this is the work done by Ruohin in the last 2 years. We started to support it mainly. We started for the CI. Now we don't have hardware in our CI that are RISC-V, so for now we are using x86 machine with QEMU to fully emulate a RISC-V virtual machine, and inside that we will run our container and our CI that will run in every crates that use the Rust VMM CI submodule. And about the crates, the code that we that support RISC-V, you can see the one in the light orange are the one that we don't have support for RISC-V right now in that crate, but all the others should support it. So future works, we hope to have some RISC-V hardware to put into our CI system this year, not sure. And about crates, we are working, maybe Ruohin is working to move also the rest of the crates like vhost, vert.io and vfio, to have the support to RISC-V also on that. And yeah, that's it. If you want to join our community, we will be really, really happy. This is the link that contains all the information. So any question? Okay, so thank you. Really, if you want to join. Ah, there is a question. Yeah.
Do you think at some point it would be feasible to run it in a WASM?
WebAssembly, you mean? WebAssembly. The question was if we will run Rust VMM crates one day in WebAssembly. Why not? I don't know. Maybe yes. If you are interested, let's talk about it. Or if you know someone interested, would be cool, for sure.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Any other question? No. Okay. Thank you.